I'd like to begin this part of the service with a brief period of meditation. If you will join me, preparing ourselves perhaps to experience God in a new way. Let's close our eyes. And open ourselves to the Spirit by focusing only on our breathing to take us within ourselves. We breathe in the breath of God. We breathe out the breath of God. We breathe in the life force around us. We breathe out the power of healing and forgiveness. We breathe in the light of God. We breathe out the light in the darkness. If you can, go to a very safe place in your imagination. A place where it is safe for you to be alone. A place that is comforting and healing and welcoming. Feel the peace that surrounds you. Open yourself to the possibilities that surround you. And in the safety of that space, invite God to be there present with you. The God who is understanding. The God who knows you as you are. God who is light. Who is life. And who is love. And hear these words that God speaks. Live your life to the fullest and be at peace. You are my beloved. You always have been and will always be cherished. Feel the embrace of the one who loves you. Recall, if you will, some fun times you have had in your life. Remember times of laughter. remember someone who loved you so specially that you felt fulfilled. And hear God say, "You are my beloved. You always have and always will be cherished." And then these words from God. "I know there are many memories that bring joy, and there are some that still hurt years beyond their existence. And when you recall them, or you feel them, open your merciful and kind heart to release yourself from their grip. Be kind to yourself as you have been kind to others. Forgive, and as much as you can, leave what cannot be forgiven in my hands." Live your life to the fullest and be at peace. You are my beloved. You always have been and always will be cherished. Let your vision of God dissipate and vanish, and be at peace in your sacred, safe place. And breathe in the light, God. Breathe out the life of love. Breathe in the healing life of God. And breathe out compassionate life to the world. Breathe. And when you are ready, come back to be with us in this place. Thank you for being part of that. I wanted to do that because the readings today continue the negative kind of end of the world, destruction, God blowing up all of creation and punishing everybody who isn't perfect, and all those messages that we hear again and again at this time of year in preparation for Advent and Christmas. John the Baptist, in the Gospels, is presented as kind of a strange person. Strange in our eyes because he really is a kind of a composite of all the prophets who have gone before him. And the Gospel writers are trying to present him as the final prophet, the one that all the other prophets have pointed to, the one who was going to indicate to the world that finally God is going to abide with God's people. That God is no longer going to be apart someplace, that God is no longer going to be standing in judgment and overwhelming all of the world with threats of punishment and death. But God is going to abide as one who is the source of life and the giver of love. John the Baptist comes out as being strange in that he wears kind of ragged clothes and he eats honey and locusts. Sounds like a great diet. He yells at people and tells them that they're wrong. He just walked in the door. He wears sandals. And he considers himself to be less than anybody important because he recognizes his role in the gospel. I'm named after John the Baptist. And it always bothered me that I had to explain what the B in my middle initial meant. Because when you say John Baptist, people look at you like, what? Who would name their kid Baptist? But in Canada, John the Baptist is the patron saint of the country. And there are billions of John Baptists in Canada. If you look at the page of the telephone book when you go up there, there's a couple of columns of named people, John Baptist Pelletier. In some ways, I think in my career, unknowingly, but as I reflect on it, I probably tried to emulate John the Baptist. There was a time when I wore long hair. There's a time when I dressed really funky. I mean, I wore one of those god-awful, what do they call them, leisure suits. There was a time when I spoke on things that drove people crazy. There were some times when I was kind of singled out as being kind of a kook. In fact, when I applied for a position at Sacred Heart, when I left Waterbury, the provincial, there's like a bunch of sisters, a convent of nuns, and a school for girls. The provincial interviewed me, had checked me out. Before I came for the interview, I found this out afterwards. And she had contacted a number of priests in the area to get some kind of feedback on me. And everyone, without exception, said, don't touch him. You're going to have a lot of trouble. And I had my interview, and this very elderly, very stern, very traditional, and very locked into rules sister said to me the day that she announced that we were going to be working together, she said, they all told me to stay away from you. They all said you were really a live wire. But there's something about you that tells me you need to be here. When I went for my interview, I had an afro. Can you imagine? I know you see the pictures, dear. And I was going to work with high school girls, very sensitive and very delicate young women, and I was going to be their spiritual leader. In a matter of time, we worked it all out, and my whole life changed because even though that was the last place in the world I ever thought I would go, it turned out to be one of the best places for me in the world. Because it changed my life. And John the Baptist today, as I look at John the Baptist, and if in any way I can possibly emulate him, I see depicted on the front of our bulletin this morning. If you don't know Caravaggio, Caravaggio was kind of a 15th, 16th century sculptor and painter. And Caravaggio has been known for some gorgeous, absolutely gorgeously human, very sensitive, very realistic depictions of creatures. Now, you don't see it too well in the printing here, but if you can Google it, you all know Google, Google Caravaggio, and you will see what I mean when I say, this to me is probably a better interpretation of John the Baptist as he really was, not in the image of the old-time prophets. Because here you have a man who was in the wilderness by choice. He went out there to find something. Something, maybe the Spirit of God called him to be there, I would hope. And in the process, he became a very reflective person. You see it in his face. Reflective in those days was kind of an odd thing to be. When everyone was struggling for survival, when the power of Rome was on everybody's back, when the temple was so filled with rules and regulations that there was no space for humanity. In fact, most of the people who had a belief in God at that time were not allowed to be a part of the temple because of some status in life, some thing that took place in their lives, or some circumstance that put them on the margins of society. And John the Baptist was a reflective person. And in his reflection, I am sure, in order for him to come out with the kind of statements he came out with, had to really take a hard look at himself and see who he really was. Unfortunately, he never wrote a biography, an autobiography, and all we can do is surmise, but I would think that someone who came out of a wilderness experience with a vision that included not just the world around him, but embraced the whole of the eternal as he focused it on the one place where he stood on this earth, but brought in the whole perspective of the universe in speaking about a God who was greater and one who was going to be present right here, right now. He was a revolutionary. And he could not do that unless he first of all began with an appreciation of himself as he is in God's eyes. Which brings me to us. We are called, not only in Advent season and Christmas, but particularly at Christmas time, we talk about God being incarnate again. We celebrate the birthday of Jesus, the birth of the Christ on the earth. All those wonderful theological statements, what are we saying? We are, in one way, celebrating the anniversary of a moment in time when the experience of God was so real, where the presence of God was so felt, where the actions of God were so visible through the hands of those who ministered, that people's lives changed, not the surface, not the politics, not the structure of society, didn't solve any of the daily problems, but it told everyone that you are an experience of the divine. You are the presence of God in the world. And the only reason we have trouble accepting that is because we don't believe we are capable, that we have the ability, that we are, quote, holy enough to even consider that reality. And that is what John the Baptist would rail against today. He came saying, God is coming and is going to baptize you in a spirit that will make sense of all of this, that will give you the source of life and love that you desire, and that can change the world. But we have so much baggage, and that's why I started this piece with that brief meditation. Because if we take the time to put aside all the rest and find ourselves in a safe place, we can imagine. And imagine doesn't mean make believe. Imagine means breaking through the bounds of reality into a deeper truth. That we can imagine something more than what we are strapped with in our lives every day. There was a time when I believed that our job as priests, ministers, was to make sure that everybody behaved appropriately. Because whatever you behaved, that's what you really are. You know, bad apples and good apples, bad fruit, good fruit. Do-gooders and not do-gooders, good people, bad people, we all know those distinctions. The reality is, beyond all of that, we need to grasp again the very simple revelation that we have stood on from the beginning of time, from the first time we acknowledged that we are not the center of the universe. We stand on something greater. There is a truth that comes with belief, but belief that is somehow not integrated into our being becomes pointless and meaningless. We need to be able to look at ourselves and see and hear those words. You are my beloved. Live your life to the fullest and be at peace. You always have been, and you always will be cherished. It sounds so simple. The efforts we make in the days ahead, may they be blessed with the Spirit of God that will allow us to move beyond wherever we are into a place where we truly appreciate in humility, and humility is truth, where we truly appreciate that we, all of us here, and everybody else out there that we meet, have the love of God within them. They too are cherished. They too are beloved. That is why Jesus had the audacity to call us to be the body of God in the world. May we find peace and comfort in the words, but may we also find the courage to trust what God may be doing with each one of us in our lives. Amen. In the beautiful anthem that the choir sang this morning, Lord, you reminded us that you are the light that comes and shatters the darknesses of our lives, and that your light is a gift not only for us to have, but one that we must share the world around us. You have made us for yourself, says our scripture. But you have also made us for each other. And that is why by nature we are called to relate to one another in love and kindness and dwell together in peace. In the complexities of our times, it's very difficult to hold on to that message for very long. It's even more difficult to integrate it as the truth of our lives, because as soon as we do, we confront another challenge, another conflict, another question, another doubt. So this day we are asking for the miraculous. We're asking for you to be in our lives in such a way that our eyes will be open to truly see as you see, if just for a moment, to have a glimpse of what peace is, to have just a moment realization of the power of love that we hold within ourselves, that we understand more fully for just a moment that hope is the link that binds us together before we can love each other. In these days of giving presents to one another, we ask that you give us the great present, showering us with your spirit, embracing us in your love, and remaking us into the people you would have us become. In trust and in love, we open ourselves to you. And for the hurts of the world, for the brokenness of so many people, for the pain and the struggle of survival, for the hurt, the vanquished, the rejected, the isolated, the condemned, we ask a special gift this time, that in themselves they would know that you are truly with them, and that they indeed are as beloved as the rest. They have always been cherished, even though no one perhaps has let them know that. In these days of Christmas and Advent hope, hold all of us together as one in your loving hands and breathe into us that new spirit of life. That is why together we all raise our voices as one, calling you, God, our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.